Saturday, April 11th. This morning was a last time at the Elms. Everything from a trip through the grounds to Aunt Effie's trunk in the basement. 3 hours, about as much as I could take, and then home for a bite of lunch, lying in bed while I signed mail with Ashton, discussed details of the Cleveland trip with Liz, and went over Lucy's party with Bess. And then at 3:30, I went downstairs to stand in line in the East Room for Lucy's party. Her junior class were hostesses to the freshman class at National Cathedral School. Lucy, in her pretty white suit with blue lapels, was in line when I joined her. And then in a moment, very much to her surprise and not planned by me, her daddy joined us. Those fresh, bright-faced, pretty, smart girls filed past us, the cream of the crop, almost too fast. I would have liked to have savored each one of them as they went by a little more. I had actually become pretty well acquainted with a lot of Lindbergh's class. There isn't quite the same cohesiveness yet in Lucy's. Helene Lindo is growing prettier every year, one of Lucy's best friends whose parents I like so much. And Nancy Heckinger is sharp and attractive, almost an archetype of today's bright young woman. And Lissy Grant, who must have had her bad moments being from Alabama with all these sophisticated Eastern and Northern girls. It was good to see her and hear that soft accent. And little Marlene Johnson, the young Negro girl who carries off all the honors right in front of Lucy Baines. I was glad that Lennon was in line when she went by. And Frances Kendall from Waco, according to Lucy, arch Republican. But I'm glad we've had a chance to be nice to a fellow Texan now and then in Lucy's school gatherings. The faculty was well represented, with Miss Fry, who handles everything, the formidable and very much respected Miss Catherine Lee, and Mrs. Atchison, Dean Atchison's daughter-in-law, who was such an exciting history teacher for Linda Bird. Miss Skeeters, who has suffered with Lucy in Spanish, and Mrs. Snyder, who has at last given her a feeling of accomplishment and personal achievement in sociology. She's got her nick there. And Mrs. Warry, who I believe is most of all her favorite. After everybody had filed in and taken a seat in the East Room, Lucy went to the microphone and in a very composed fashion said that something unexpected had happened to her and that her daddy had come to the party, so she wanted him to say a few words. And Lyndon very gracefully said how much we owed the National Cathedral, that his two daughters were more enlightened and more exciting girls since they went to the school. And the nicest thing he could say was that the school had made the girls more like their mother, in tune with the young, and with his rather considerable abilities as an actor. He put on a very doleful face and spoke of those difficult teachers who demand so much of those poor children who have to spend 6 hours a day studying when they could be out on a date. Then quickly he gave Lucy a kiss and left, and David Bean, a concert pianist, took over. Young, handsome, an expert performer, he played Chopin and Liszt and added a considerable éclat to Lucy's party. I think it was really quite an accomplishment of Bess's to be able to find him. And a nice little thing, she had the programs printed in blue with the White House on them and inside the numbers played. I hope they landed in a lot of girls' scrapbooks or a lot of letters sent home to Mama. And the blue, of course, is because of Lucy and her eyes and clothes. When it was over and I went backstage to thank David Bean, Lucy went again to the microphone and had about 3 sentences to say about appreciation. Appreciation of the work of the teachers at National Cathedral, of the companionship of all the girls that she had come to know. And now, of Mr. Bean's nice program for us. And now, let's go into the state dining room and appreciate some good refreshments that had been prepared for the afternoon. I followed them in and moved from group to group, speaking to as many people as I could identify with, but feeling that Lucy had the situation well in hand, I melted away pretty soon. At 5:30, General and Mrs. McMahon of the Volunteers of America came in to have tea with me. His organization had given me a most unusual award last year, and I wanted to say thanks. For a professional head of a do-good organization wearing a rather dull-looking uniform, he is a very interesting conversationalist, and I listened with admiration for the chores they undertake of homes for the skid row type of people in big cities, the recent one going up for unwed mothers in Fort Worth, Texas, and got some advice from him on my trip to Cleveland when I would address the YWCA. Lyndon had been out playing golf, and a wonderful, glorious day it was to do it. After they'd been gone a while, I got a call from him at the Valentis asking me to come right on out and have a drink with them. By this time, I was in slacks and working and not a bit anxious to encounter reporters. But being assured by Jerry that there were none lingering anywhere around, I brashly went out, and we spent a very cozy hour playing with Jack and Mary Margaret's baby. It's almost sad that at 56 or so, Lyndon has more time for a 5-month-old than he did 20 years ago. Dick Goodwin was there. His wife came. We had a couple of drinks. And then, having been alerted all along that there were cameras and press out front, we found a moment when they had gone away to get their own suppers, and we left, slipped out through the cordon, returned to the White House, had our dinner. Lyndon went back to the office to work, and I to bed, having a visit first with Linda Byrd, who had, bless her, been standing in line at the House and Embassy tour, adding her small touch of come on to the indefatigable line of tourists who might buy a ticket to support this charity. The nicest part of the day I only found out later, and that was how much it really mattered to Lucy that her daddy came. She was all ecstatic.